Hi Flora, thanks so much for joining us on the show today.
Oh, good morning, Matt. Thanks for having me.
It's really great to chat to you. We're going to be talking about the topic of your PhD, but before we get into the nuts and bolts of it, I wanted to get your understanding, if you could kind of give us an overview of what the concept of flexibility in an electricity grid means, and maybe how that's changing as a result of having more renewable energy.
Yeah, sure. So I guess taking a step back, right, the primary overarching challenge we're trying to help tackle is that of climate change. So we all know we need to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions quickly and drastically. So I'm looking at the energy sector specifically, and energy contributes to 3/4 of global greenhouse gas emissions. So the question becomes, how do we decarbonize energy, right? The thing is, we only really know to decarbonize electricity generation, so using renewables or nuclear energy. So it's a common misconception to equate electricity and energy, but at the moment, only a fifth of final energy consumption in the world uses electricity. So that means there are two main things we need to do in parallel to decarbonize energy, right? So first, we need to decarbonize electricity, of course, so using lots more renewables. But even if we made all of our electricity carbon-free, but everyone was still heating their homes with gas and driving around in SUVs that burn oil, we'd only have solved part of the problem. So it's not just about getting the electricity clean, but also getting everything else plugged into that clean renewable electricity. So the other thing we need to do is we need to convert as much of our energy consumption as possible to electricity. So switching from cars that burn oil to electric cars, and switching from heat boilers that burn gas to heat water to heat pumps that use electricity to take heat from the air. So now that's a huge disruption, right? And that brings us to your question about flexibility, because so not only would, for example, in the UK, like nearly double our electricity consumption if we electrify heat and transport, but also would rely very heavily on intermittent sources of energy that are not available all the time. And that's a challenge. So one important thing to understand is that in the electricity grid, supply and demand need to be equal at all times. Otherwise, generators can't function or there's a power blackout. So it's not like a water or gas network where you can have storage within the pipelines. So historically, if demand went up, you could simply like burn more coal or gas or oil to produce more electricity to match demand. But renewable energy production is weather dependent, and we can't just ask for more sun or wind when we need it. So we need to have some demand side response to match the consumption to the generation available rather than the other way around. And that's where we need what I call flexibility, which is like by how much you can change the amount of electricity being used at given time using, for example, storage or flexible consumption.
Very interesting, the idea that we are, you mentioned, I think, like, you know, 20% of the energy comes from electricity, and we're really going to be ramping that up over the next, hopefully, you know, 20 or 30 years. Mm-hmm. When we're talking about the idea of flexibility, you're really kind of focusing on the demand side. And so yes. I'm interested, we've mentioned how things are changing in the scene quite rapidly, but how has the concept of flexibility changed from the old model to moving to a newer model with more renewable energy?
Yeah. So the thing is, historically, we didn't need that much flexibility because we had, you know, dispatchable generation. So we'd only be using flexibility from few large industrial and commercial customers. So say like a steel factory, right? So say if this is a winter evening, demand is high, generation struggles to keep up, the network operator would literally pick up the phone, call the steel factory, and ask them to please turn down their electricity use or you know, switch to a local diesel generator temporarily to alleviate pressure on the grid against some payment, right? So if you only work with few large actors, this management does not have to be smart. But as our electricity needs increase and as we use more intermittent renewables, we need more of that flexibility. So we need to go beyond these low-hanging fruits. And that's where the residential side has a key role to play in helping facilitate the integration of renewable energy. So the residential sector comprises a third of the UK total electricity demand, and crucially, half of the peak electricity demand, which is when we are most constrained and we need most flexibility. So, you know, how great would it be if we could all, like from our home, respond to grid signals to reduce electricity when demand is high, or increase our consumption when demand is low, and particularly, you know, move our consumption to when the sun is shining and we have some cheap carbon-free solar energy available. But the main difference to before is that now, if we use the flexibility provided by the appliances in the millions of homes in a given country, things get a lot more complex. So the focus of my PhD is to develop algorithms that would allow households to be flexible in their own electricity consumption, so mainly using their heat pumps and their electric cars, so we can help manage the network and, you know, align consumption with renewable energy, but in a way that is distributed, that is cheap, that protects privacy, and that can be implemented at this large scale that is novel.
It's sort of going from occasionally calling a steel manufacturer to get them to turn down to going to, I mean, literally millions of homes and looking at them as a load source that could be variable, that could be impacted. I think the idea that you mentioned of privacy is very interesting. It could be very helpful for the grid to have more input in the loads in people's homes. But what are some of the issues that arise with doing that on a residential scale?
In terms of social acceptance, I think what we really need is we need some clarity, right? We need to say, okay, we hear a lot of people do not want to give up their personal data and do not want to give up the control of their appliances in their own home, right? So we need to say, don't worry, I will not look into your home. You know, I will not say, you know, oh, Matt, I see you're about to watch TV. Actually, I'd rather you didn't watch TV right now, please, right? We have to be very clear, right? In my PhD, I've been developing algorithms, you know, that would help you work out what is a good time for your house to start charging your car and so on, but without affecting the life of the people living in the house. So no interference with daily activities. We have to maintain comfortable temperatures in the home. We have to make sure your car is charged when you need it. And in terms of privacy, you know, we need to say your data would not leave your home. All of the decisions will be made locally, right? Like at the level of your home, automatically in the background, so hopefully you shouldn't notice.
Flora, thank you so much for talking to us about this topic today. I think it's going to be something that's going to become increasingly relevant in the future, and I really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt.